The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
Friday, November the 26th, 6:23 p.m. Another amazing day of football, college football only today, no pro football. A great day for me to go in and out, watch some games, come back to my computer, study some more film, because we have got some incredible rivalries that have finally come to a head after talking about them throughout the entire season. I'm just going to go straight down as the games are played tomorrow, and when it's one of our rivalry games that we've been talking about all year, then I'll spend a little bit more time on those games. The first game on the schedule tomorrow, Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia favored by 35 over a horrible Georgia Tech team, a Georgia Tech team that just got beat by Notre Dame by about 50 points here not long ago. Here's the thing. In trying to analyze and evaluate this game, it's obvious Georgia will win the football game going away. But what are they thinking with the championship game, the SEC championship game next week against Alabama? When are they going to quit even trying to score? When will they just start running plays to run the clock out, milking the clock at the very end? So the way I look at the game is that if they go up early, which they probably will, and they jump up and at half, they're ahead by 35 or 40 points, they know the game is over with Georgia Tech having an inability to score. So as long as they do that, then the second half, the only thing they need to do is run the clock out, play their guys. So they may play JT Daniels early. He may play in the third quarter, but then I think they'll get him out as well. And then I think you'll see whoever their third-team quarterback is and their third-team offensive line and all the players that they can afford to lose. So because of that, I'm going to take a limb here, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to take Georgia Tech to cover the 35 points. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia is not a little sloppy. It's going to be hard for them, even though this is another rivalry game. You know, we use the Georgia-Florida rivalry game. This is really Georgia and Georgia Tech as a rivalry game. But when the other team has no chance whatsoever to beat you, then it's very difficult to get your players to watch the film and to think that there is. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech and the 35 points based upon those scenarios. Rivalry. Ohio State at Michigan. Been talking about it all year. I've gone back and forth. Both teams are 10-1. Ohio State has looked like world beaters in the last four or five games, especially since their early season loss to Oregon. The quarterback has gotten better and better and better in the last few weeks. He's looked as good as any quarterback in college football. Looks like the Heisman Trophy favorite right now, according to Vegas. I still like Bryce Young at Alabama, as well as I do the quarterback at Ohio State, Stroud. Michigan, on the other hand, here's the thing that concerns me about Michigan. I just don't know how good of a big game coach Harbaugh is. Obviously, in this big game, he's 0-5. So you could you know, not go out on a limb, Ohio State is favored by 7 points. You could take Michigan and still think Ohio State is going to win the game and cover yourself on this. But I don't want to do that. I want to say whoever wins the game is going to cover the spread. So when you break this thing down, you think about Ohio State has got incredible NFL wide receivers. They've got really good running backs. They've got a Heisman Trophy leading candidate at quarterback. The offensive line, in my opinion, is their weakness. The offensive line is average. Michigan's defensive line has a couple of guys that are going to be high NFL draft picks. Michigan will struggle to match up in man coverage unless they play some man under cover two. If they play some man under cover two, when would you play that? You would play that in obvious passing situations or when they feel like they can gamble on that. The quarterback is not a runner. He can scramble a little bit and buy some time, but he's not a runner that's going to try to beat you with his feet. Man under cover two, that's always the danger of that. So Michigan's matchup is good. Well, it's not good, but it's good versus their D-line versus Ohio State's O-line. I believe that Michigan can stop the run. I believe they can slow the run down, but they're going to have to do it plain zone. If they play man, then they're going to check. They're going to constantly check, and they're going to beat them in one-on-ones. They're not going to win every time, but when they do win, they're going to score. Just like they have the last few years, they'll score from 60, 70, 80, 90 yards out. So the game plan has got to be to where they hide their coverages. They don't do a great job of hiding coverages. Ohio State's going to check plays. They're going to line up, look to the sideline. They're going to check. Michigan has got to check with them. And again, these are things that are out of Harbaugh's comfort zone. So I went back and I watched the game last week. And they finally started throwing RPOs again as if it were 4 weeks ago. And I mean throwing RPOs 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, 11, 12 times during the game. Not just screen RPOs, not just bubble, not just fast screen RPOs. I'm talking about real RPOs, slants, hitches, post routes, go routes. So that made me feel better. The problem is the game last week, they knew they could win. They knew they could probably blow out Maryland. What is he going to do in a big game? Is he going to turn his offensive coordinator loose the entire game? Or is he going to get on the 1 yard line coming out and run two quarterback sneaks, then run a dive play and punt? That's what I'm afraid of if I'm a Michigan fan. I'm not afraid of Michigan's coordinators. I'm afraid of Michigan's head coach. I'm afraid of him being so worried about losing that he doesn't play to win. Ohio State, I think, you know, Ryan Day is one of the best coaches in football, and he's proven that. And when you go into this game, coaching matters. But it is at Michigan. Will that make a difference? Well, it had in the last couple of times they played at Michigan because Ohio State has won the game. But this is Michigan's best chance. And all year long, as I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, I've had it the last few weeks that Ohio State was going to win, Ohio State's going to win, Ohio State's going to win because simply of Harbaugh crawling into a shell and playing not to lose. I am now going to switch back to Michigan for this reason. This past week, they went back and they went deep into the RPO bag. I am hoping that they did that knowing that they cannot win. They cannot beat Michigan without being good at the RPOs. I don't think Michigan's quarterback is consistent. He's not a great quarterback. He's okay. But I do believe that Michigan can run the ball. Now, I believed Michigan State could, and they couldn't. I believe Michigan can run the ball. I believe that, especially if Blake Corum ends up playing, but even if he doesn't play, if Corum played, I would feel a whole lot better about it. That would give them two great running backs. But if Corum doesn't play, I still feel good enough about their run game, about throwing the ball to the backs, about mixing it up enough that I saw last week is that I'm going to go back to what I originally said as I started evaluating this early in the year. I'm going to straight up call for Michigan in the upset. Ohio State is favored by 7. I get 7 points, but in the rivalry series, that doesn't matter. In the rivalry series, it's who's going to win the game. I'm going to take Michigan to win this game as a 7-point underdog. And then I'm going to be pissed as hell if Harbaugh crawls into his shell and plays conservative and chokes the game away. Right now, when you look at just the spread for you people that bet ball games, Michigan is 10-1 overall. Michigan is 9-2 against the spread. If you had just bet Michigan every game this year, you would have had a hell of a season betting ball games. Ohio State is 10-1, 6-4-1 against the spread. So I'm going to take Michigan to win the game straight up, and then I also get 7 points if I was gambling. The next game, Texas Tech at Baylor. Really interesting game. Texas Tech named their new head coach, Joey McGuire, about 3 weeks ago. A lot of things have happened since then. Baylor got back in the conference race. Baylor's 9-2. Baylor is 8-3 against the spread. Texas Tech is 6-5 overall, 5-5-1 against the spread. Texas Tech got destroyed by Oklahoma State. They played really good the first game that Joey McGuire was their head coach, that he was back as their head coach, even though it's still an interim head coach. But he also named Sonny Cumbie now, who's the interim head coach. He's gone ahead and named him as the offensive coordinator for next year. So he's going to stay at Texas Tech. I think that's a big deal because I think Sonny's probably very popular amongst the players. The other thing that's interesting here, Joey McGuire was coaching at Baylor until 3 weeks ago. And then he quit and went to Texas Tech immediately. He knows everything. He knows their scheme. He knows their signals. So now Baylor's going to have to change some things in how they signal, how they communicate, and all that stuff. Because one of their coaches is now playing for the enemy. So that's an interesting part of this game as well. Because of all that, I'm going to take Texas Tech in this game, and I get 14 points. So I will go with Texas Tech plus 14. Wake Forest 9-2 at Boston College, 6-5. Wake Forest 5-6 against the spread, 6-5. Boston College against the spread. Wake Forest favored by 4.5. That's a hard one at Boston College. I'm going to stay with Wake Forest. I just like the karma of this. I like the karma of them playing still to be in the championship game. They need to win this game. I just like the feel of it. The only thing that concerns me is that Dave Clawson is probably involved in several job opportunities, Washington being the latest one mentioned, as well as Virginia Tech. He's a great coach, so he should get a big payday somewhere. Maybe Wake Forest steps up to the plate, finds a few more million to pay him there. They should. But that worries me a little bit, but I'm going to stay with Wake Forest minus the 4.5 points because they're still playing to play in the championship game. Houston at a horrendous UConn team. UConn is one of the worst teams in all of college football. Houston has one of the best defenses in all of college football. Houston is 10-1 overall, 7-4 against the spread. UConn is just the exact opposite, 1-10 overall, 5-6 against the spread. However, Houston has got to travel. They've got to go to UConn. There may be three people at the game, three parents at the game. It is just a really weird atmosphere when you go do that. Houston is going to play Cincinnati in the championship game the next week. So they're going to try to rest people once they get ahead. I'm going to go with Houston to get ahead early in this game and then for UConn to play it closer later. I'm going to take UConn plus 32.5 points and wouldn't be surprised if it was even a closer game for a little bit in that deal. Florida State and Florida could have easily been a rivalry game. We took Florida instead with Georgia, but we'll take this one now as another rivalry, a big rivalry, and a lot on the line. Florida's already fired their coach. Florida State, if he doesn't win, they may fire their coach. Florida is terrible, and they're minus three. They gave up 42 in the first half against Samford 2 weeks ago. They lost at Missouri in overtime, then they fired their coach. They've looked horrible at times during the season. Florida State has gotten better as the season has gone on. They've gotten just a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. I'm going to say Florida State wins the game, and I'm getting 3 points. I know it's a big rivalry and all that stuff. I don't see the Florida fans being involved too long if Florida State could get up in this game. Now, will Florida rise up with their head coach being fired and play hard and all that stuff? I think they can, but I think it could be short-lived if it doesn't work. If Florida State jumps up by 14, I could see Florida just flat out quitting in this game. I think Mike Norvell is a really good football coach. I think that at Florida, you're going to have a new play caller because Dan Mullen did everything. Dan Mullen was anal. He called everything, and that could be a disaster just like it was on defense when they did that on defense. So I'm going to go with Florida State, and I get 3 points. Maryland and Rutgers, I don't have an opinion at all. Army at Liberty. How about this? Hugh Freeze gets $4 million at Liberty. Man, it's nice to have Jimmy Sexton as an agent. $4 million. Liberty's got more money. They know what to do with. It's a religious school. All the religious schools usually got all kinds of money hanging around their coffers. They can pay for anything. Hugh Freeze, $4 million. Malik, the quarterback. Possible first-round pick. How have they been playing? Not great. Not great. Kind of hit and miss. So here's what's going to happen. Liberty's defense has been pretty good. Hugh Freeze just got a big contract. My belief probably is that he's a guy that when he gets a big contract would party. I know it's a religious school, but I also know just a little bit more. So I'm going to say that big contract, first-round quarterback, getting ready for the draft. Army comes in and cuts them every single play and gets after their ass. I'm going to take Army plus 3.5 points and think that Army just goes down and just really gets after them. Although I'll say this, Liberty's played good defense throughout the year. This is a different type of deal. So I'm going to take Army plus 3.5. Navy at Temple. Navy's a huge favorite. They're 2-8 on the season. Temple is 3-8 on the season. Navy 6-4 against the spread. Temple 2-9. I'm going to take Navy and give up 12.5 points on the road at Temple. Not a very long trip for them to go there. Miami and Kent State have no opinion at all. Akron, Toledo, no opinion. Interesting game, Miami at Duke. What many people believe will be David Cutcliffe's last game as a college football coach. I hate that because he's one of my favorite coaches. Met him once during a rainstorm at a football camp. Spent 30 minutes talking to him. One of the nicest human beings. Interesting man. Genuinely interested in you. And I've always admired him as a football coach, a competitor, and what he's done at Duke has been nothing less than spectacular. They're 3-8 this season, however, and 4-7 against the spread. Miami 6-5, 5-6 against the spread. Miami's favored by 21. Manny Diaz needs to win to have a chance to keep his job. And as I've said before, I hope he does. But I just got a feeling that maybe the football gods might reward David Cutcliffe and give him a surprise win going out the door if this really is his last game. I'm going to take Duke plus 21 points and not be shocked if they pull off the upset against Miami. Louisiana Tech at Rice. Shocker. Skip Holtz resigned today. I don't know Skip Holtz, never met Skip Holtz. I have a feeling Skip Holtz doesn't care a whole lot for me because he's good friends with somebody that hates my guts. But I've always admired Skip Holtz. He took over for us at Louisiana Tech. That was a hard job to take over because we were had just won a conference championship 2 years before. We averaged 52 points a game the year that he took over. We were one of the best offenses in the history of college football. We were 9-3, and he takes over. That's a tough job to take over. All he did was go to bowl game after bowl game after bowl game after bowl game. During COVID, they went 5-5, and then this year they are 3-8. Yeah, 3-8 and 4-7 against the spread. The resignation surprises me. I hope he's got another job lined up because I think he's a good football coach. And again, don't know the guy at all. They go to Rice. They're favored by 3.5 at Rice. I just got a weird feeling that Rice will care more about this game. Again, it'll be one of those games. There probably won't be 200 people there. Louisiana Tech, losing a guy that's been there forever as their coach. I'm going to take Rice to win this game straight up, but I do get 3.5 points on that deal. University of Texas at San Antonio at North Texas. North Texas is getting 10 points at home. North Texas was really bad for a long time. And then they've been on a run. They're 5-6 now. I think they've won either 4 or 5 games in a row. They're 8-3 against the spread. UTSA, on the other hand, has been good all year. They're 11-0, 8-3 against the spread. So both teams have played good against what Vegas thought they would do. UTSA has a chance to finish the season undefeated, go to the championship game, play either Western Kentucky or Marshall, still be undefeated, and possibly even get into a New Year's Six bowl game. So they got a lot on the line. North Texas, on the other hand, has a chance to win and get into a bowl and maybe save Seth Luttrell's job. Some people have told me it's already a done deal. It's already over with. I just happen to believe that if he won that game, maybe they reconsider. But with that being said, I do know Seth a little bit. I hope they don't fire him. I know Jeff Traylor a lot. As I've said all year long, one of the best coaches in all of football and just signed a $30 million 10-year deal. So what's going to happen in this game? I just got a gut feeling that it's going to be close. I got a gut feeling that North Texas is going to play them hard, play them tough, and it's going to come down to the very end. I'm going to take North Texas plus 10 points and not be shocked if they win the game. I wouldn't be shocked. I want UTSA to win just simply from this standpoint. It would be so much fun to see them in a New Year's Six Bowl. But with that being said, I don't want Seth Luttrell to get fired. So if that's going to save his job, then you know, hopefully it does if he can win the game. Charlotte at Old Dominion. Old Dominion's on a roll. They won 4 games in a row. Big win at Middle Tennessee last week. If they win this game, they are bowl eligible at 6-6. They're 8-3 against the spread. They're 5-6 right now. Charlotte 5-6, 6-5. Old Dominion favored by 9.5. I believe Old Dominion's crowd will come out and raise hell. I love that place. I've said it all year long. One of my favorite places to go and coach was coaching against them at Old Dominion. Great stadium, great place. Charlotte needs to win. Head coach Will Healy, great motivator. I just think Old Dominion's playing better football right now. I'm going to give up the 9.5 and think that Old Dominion's going to pull that game out. Texas State at Arkansas State. Texas State 3-8, 6-5 against the spread. Arkansas State 2-9, 6-5 against the spread. Big win at Louisiana Monroe. They're favored by 2 points over Texas State. I believe that they should be favored by more than that. I hope Texas State wins. I'm going to think that Arkansas State will win. I'm going to take Arkansas State and give up the 2 points. Troy, without their head coach, got fired. Chip Lindsey. At Georgia State. Georgia State already bowl eligible. Troy wins. Troy is bowl eligible. Georgia State favored by 6.5. Troy without their play caller. The last time I saw Troy without their play caller, we were playing them last year when he got COVID before we played them the second time. The first time we played them with him calling plays, they scored 40-something. The second time without him calling plays, they scored about 17 and we won the game. I'm going to say Georgia State wins and covers because Troy doesn't have their play caller. Georgia State minus 6.5. Georgia Southern at Appalachian State. App State 9-2, 8-3. Georgia Southern 3-8, 5-6 against the spread. App State minus 24.5, still going to be in the championship game. I'm going to take App State minus the 24.5. Southern Miss, one of the most interesting stories in football right now. They don't have a quarterback, so they're playing with the receivers and running backs just alternating at quarterback, and they've played two of their best games of the season, almost upset UTSA, and then beat Louisiana Tech. Have looked good doing it on both of them. Hell of a job coaching by Will Hall. Southern Miss is playing Florida International, who is horrendous, terrible, one of the worst teams in all of football. Florida International 1-10, 3-8 against the spread. Southern Miss 2-9, 3-8 against the spread. Southern Miss giving up 12.5 without a quarterback, that's a lot. They'll cover, though. Florida International will find a way just to lay down and quit. Southern Miss looks like they're having fun playing for their coach. They like their new coach. You can tell by watching the games. They're playing hard. I'm going to take Southern Miss and give up the 12.5. UMass, New Mexico State, no opinion. Hawaii, Wyoming, no opinion. Iron Bowl, really interesting game. Incredibly interesting game. You've got Auburn, who has played really poorly the last few weeks. Made a lot of poor coaching decisions throughout the season, but especially the last few weeks. Especially being down 9 points. And some way or another, deciding that you had to go for two with 4 minutes plus left in the game for the first time in history to me see a football coach do that. However, I did watch some NFL coaches make some ungodly, ridiculous, brain-jarring time management decisions the other day as well. So everybody's human. We all make mistakes. So Auburn is going into the Iron Bowl. Alabama's favored by 20.5. We've watched this. We've already given it to you earlier this week. We gave you the game earlier this week. We said Alabama's going to win the game 31-28. So if you haven't heard that podcast, go back. It's a 40-something minute podcast dedicated to nothing but Alabama and Auburn. But just a reminder, we have picked Auburn to cover the spread, Alabama to win the game 31-28. Again, 40-minute podcast about that just a few podcasts back. So go back and listen to it. Oregon State and Oregon. Again, one of our rivalry games that we've covered all year long. Oregon, man, they were in it. All they had to do was win out, and they were going to be in the Final Four. And they just got their butts handed to them unmercifully at Utah. I mean, was it 38-7, I believe? An ass-whipping beyond imagination. Now they're at home against their rival, against the Oregon State Beavers. Oregon State has had a better than expected year, 7-4 overall, 6-4 against the spread. I believe in this game that Oregon, after that ass whipping last week, I think they were just exposed. I think it's hard to play at Utah. I've played there before, coached there. It is a very difficult place to play, but I think they were exposed. I think Oregon State's offense matches up really well against Oregon's defense. I think that Oregon State is playing with a tremendous amount of confidence in this series. They won the game last year at home. I believe that Oregon State can run the ball at them. I believe they can hit play action on them. I believe they've played really good defense since they fired their defensive coordinator, so that gamble paid off for Oregon State. According to what they've talked about, they're much more simple now. They're playing harder, playing faster. Oregon has struggled with being efficient on offense. They're inconsistent. Some days they're good, some days they're bad. The quarterback is hot and cold. If he's hot, he looks like a first-round draft pick. If he's cold, he looks like a guy that couldn't start for somebody else, for anybody in football. So he's kind of a hard guy to figure out from week to week. I had said that since they'd gotten Joe Moorhead back, it looked to me like they were going to make it to the Final Four. And then last week, they laid an egg completely. If they win, they're still going to play for Utah in the championship game. So they got a huge motive. Number one, you always want to play somebody that just whipped your ass. Every football player that's ever played, every coach that's ever coached, if you got a chance to play somebody again that just whipped your ass, you want to play them again. Oregon State's incentive, their coach, Jonathan Smith, just signed a brand new contract. He's staying at Oregon State forever or until he gets another big deal a couple of years from now. So there's a lot of outside influences in this game. It's been a fun series to watch. It's been fun to watch both these teams throughout the year because they've both been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But my gut tells me now that I'm going to go with Oregon State. I love Oregon State because Chance Nolan, again, was a quarterback I recruited at Middle Tennessee, came to us, stayed with us for a year, and then came back and then decided to leave. Good decision for him. Player of the year at a junior college in California. Oregon State signs him, and obviously it's paid off for him. I believe that they'll win the game straight up, and they're getting 7 points. So I'm going to take Oregon State to win the game straight up in the rivalry series pick, just as I picked Alabama to win the game straight up in the Alabama-Auburn deal. Just don't forget that. I picked Alabama to win the game, just Auburn to cover the spread. Oregon State, in this game, I believe, will win the game straight up, but I do get 7 points if you're gambling on the ball game. So Oregon State to win the game in our rivalry series and also to cover the spread, getting 7 points. Penn State at Michigan State. My God, is this a hard game to handicap? Penn State 7-4, 7-4 against the spread. James Franklin just signed a 10-year contract for about $80 million. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, 9-2. Lost last week, like 50-something to 10 or 7. We're behind 49-0 at half. 9-2 overall, 7-4 against the spread. First of all, good time for me to remind everybody, don't hate guys because they got big contracts. Be happy because they got big contracts. I listen to some of these national broadcasters get on and just cry like babies and make up everything in the world why somebody doesn't deserve it. Always remember, in this country, you're paid what you deserve because it's a free market. The free market determines your value. And right now in college football, it has an all-time war on buying coaches and getting them to come to their school. And who cares? It's most of the time, it's all types of donation booster money. And the other thing that these guys, it blows my mind when I listen to some of these procrastinators. I listen to them, these pundits, they never talk about the value that a winning football program has for the university. The number of students, the quality of students, the professors that want to go to that university. You'd be shocked at the number of professors who actually love college football, love talking about it, take great pride in it. There is an intrinsic value, and then there is value that you don't see. So when they sign Mel Tucker for $95 million at Michigan State, they only do it because he's worth it. It doesn't mean he's going to win every game. It doesn't mean he's going to win the national championship. So, you know, some of you guys that do this for a living, that commentate for a living, you need to get over it, you know? Go into coaching and do really good, and somebody will pay you $90 million. Or, hey, how about this? Joe Rogan has a 200-something million-dollar contract to do podcasts. Why? Because he's good, and people want to listen to him, so somebody paid him that much money. People got in a bidding war for him. Howard Stern, same thing. If you're good, people pay you. If people want you, they pay you. And yeah, I know the deal. I was a teacher for 16 years. And are teachers underpaid? Sure they are. Absolutely. The value that they give, lifetime value, is incredible. But they're not going to pay 80 teachers in a school of 700 students $9 million each. They're not going to do it because there's a lot of people that can do the job and a lot of people that will do the job. And so they're going to pay them whatever it is to take people to continue to go into the profession, continue to give service, And that's what it is. The military is the same thing. It's giving service. So don't hate somebody because somebody pays them $9 million a year. Good for them. God bless them. Hey, you know, they may lose next year and they may be firing them. Good for them. It's all good. It's all good. That's why, again, it's a free market economy in this country. Back to that off my soapbox, Penn State at Michigan State. Will Michigan State bounce back from the ass kicking? Well, first of all, Michigan State has been horrible all year in pass defense. They're the worst pass defense in all of college football. So it's not like it's a huge surprise. You play one of the best passing teams in all of college football, you're going to give up a bunch of it. What was surprising was they couldn't score. That was the surprise. Not that they gave up so much, but that they couldn't score themselves. That was the shock. Now they're going to play a good defense in Penn State. So how does that thing come down then? Penn State, bad offense, good defense. Michigan State, they've been good on offense until last week. I think the home field, I think Mel Tucker signing the contract, I think all that unrest being over with, Penn State is favored by 2. That means Vegas thinks they're going to win the game. And they believe the money's going to go on Penn State. They also believe there's an overreaction to Michigan State being horrible. So I'm going to go with Michigan State, and I get 2 points. I believe Michigan State will bounce back. We'll see. Maybe they won't. But Penn State can't throw the ball either. But sometimes you can't throw the ball, and you play somebody that can't play pass defense, and all of a sudden you can throw the ball. Huge game. Conference USA, Western Kentucky at Marshall for the Eastern Division Championship. Western Kentucky is getting 1 point at Marshall. I have gone with Western throughout the season except a huge mistake where I made in the rivalry game where they played Middle Tennessee and I let my emotions get involved since I wanted Middle Tennessee to win and I picked Middle because I thought they were going to play another quarterback that was going to run the football in that game, but I was wrong all the way through. But I'm not going to let my emotions get involved now. Western Kentucky, I believe, is a better team. Marshall has struggled on defense. They've been good on offense. Western has struggled on defense, been good at offense. This might be a 60-50 game. I'm going to take the quarterback at Western to be better than the quarterback at Marshall. The quarterback at Marshall has had a tendency to turn the ball over. That's how Middle beat Marshall, 6 turnovers, or maybe 7. I'm going to take Western Kentucky to win this game straight up, and I do get 1 point. So if Marshall won by 1, we would have a push. Northwestern at Illinois, I just don't have a feel at all for Northwestern, so I'm going to pass that game. Indiana-Purdue, Indiana has been horrible all year, have not gotten any better. They're 2-9 overall. Worse than that, they're 1-9 against the spread. No matter how big they make the spread, they can't cover. Purdue, you know, they struggle defensively as well. I'm going to go with Purdue. They're 7-4, 6-5 against the spread. They're giving up 15.5. I'm going to give it up, even though it's a rivalry game between those two teams. Vanderbilt at Tennessee. Vanderbilt played Ole Miss better than people thought they would. Vanderbilt's 2-9, 5-6 against the spread. Tennessee 6-5, 5-6 against the spread. Tennessee 31.5. I think Tennessee with the home crowd is going to rock and roll, and I think they're going to play good enough defense to get the ball back enough, score some big plays, and blow out Vanderbilt. I'm going to give up the 31.5. Virginia Tech at Virginia. Virginia Tech fired the coach a couple of weeks ago. Virginia at home, 6-5, 7-4 against the spread. Virginia Tech, 5-6. Virginia Tech needs to win this to get into a bowl, which will help whoever their new head coach would be, because then he can come in and coach for a couple of weeks. So that's a big deal for them. I'm still, if Virginia has the good quarterback, the starting quarterback, if he plays, I got Virginia minus the 7 points. If he doesn't play, I would just skip the game. But I'm taking Virginia right now minus the 7, expecting the good quarterback to play. Wisconsin at Minnesota. Wisconsin still playing to get into the championship game. Need to win this one. Wisconsin 8-3, 6-5 against the spread. Minnesota 7-4, 6-4-1 against the spread. This is the type of game that Row the Boat does good in. Gets them all fired up, the crowd fired up, does a whole bunch of jumping up and down and screaming. If the players aren't tired of it, atmosphere's good. I'm going to pick Minnesota in this game and take the 7 points and expect them to possibly win this game, even though they're not a great team. They're okay, and sometimes they can get on a roll. So Minnesota plus 7. Tulsa at SMU, another interesting game. Tulsa 5-6, disappointing season for them, 6-5 against the spread. SMU, another great season for Sonny Dykes, 8-3, 6-5 against the spread. Rumors have Sonny leaving and going to TCU. That's a hard deal to deal with. No matter who you are, he's not come out and denied it or anything to the press. So that's a hard deal, hard situation to deal with. Because of that, and because Tulsa has had SMU's number, I'm going to take Tulsa in this game, plus 6.5. Hope SMU wins it, and Tulsa covers the spread. ULM, University of Louisiana Monroe, at Louisiana. Again, another one of the job deals. Louisiana Monroe, 4-7, 5-6 against the spread. Louisiana Raging Cajuns, 10-1, 5-6 against the spread. The Raging Cajuns are 21.5-point favorites. Billy Napier is a coach that is mentioned for every job and has turned down several. He is supposedly a lock for Florida if he wants it. I don't know why he would not want Florida if he's ever going to take another job, except that it is the SEC and it's very difficult. But it's the SEC East. You basically got to get good enough to beat Georgia. You should be able to get where you can compete with them again, because that's been something in the past that people have done. Monroe did not play good at home last week. Well, they played LSU last week, I think it was. And they did play good against LSU. I think they covered the spread in that game. I'm going to take Monroe to cover this spread of 21.5. Louisiana is a better football team, but they don't have a tendency to blow people out. So I'm going to take Louisiana Monroe in this game, and I get 21.5. Big rivalry game I didn't cover all year, Arizona State. Just didn't really give a shit about either one of them. Didn't care about Arizona. Didn't care about Arizona State except hoping they lose for all the shit that they pulled in the offseason. Again, allegedly bringing in recruits during COVID. How they kept those coaches coaching on the staff, I'll never figure it out. But with that being said, I won't let my emotions get into this, picking this game. Horrible Arizona team, 1-10, but 6-5 against the spread. Arizona State, 7-4, 4-7 against the spread. The word I have heard is that Herm Edwards is not going to be fired, that they're going to keep him. It is a big rivalry. They will be excited to play this game. They're favored by 20. I believe they'll win it by 21, so I'll take Arizona State. Rivalry that we followed all year long. Texas A&M, the overrated Aggies with the overrated coach Jimbo Fisher, LSU with a cult hero, Ed Orgeron, already fired coach at LSU, but he loves LSU, so he stayed and coached the rest of the year, says wonderful things about LSU. Players, I believe, that are still playing. I believe that Ed Orgeron has about 10,000 don't give a fucks, but he does care about LSU and he wants to win. I got a feeling those players are afraid to run over to that sideline right now because they know he don't give a fuck. And they're probably about half-ass afraid of him, and they probably should be. Because of that, A&M is favored by 6.5 at LSU. I'm going to pick them to send good old Ed Orgeron out, make themselves bowl eligible so they can practice for a coach. Everybody still says, all the quote experts say that this is not a done deal, that Jimbo Fisher may still be interested at LSU. I think Jimbo likes to hang around and get offered jobs and stuff. And I just see this as bottom line is, I just think he's and his team and him are overrated. And I'm going to pull for old Ed Orgeron to pull this one off and have a going away party that people will just love to watch. So I'm going to take LSU plus the 6.5 in this rivalry game. Be interesting to watch. That'll be a game at 7 p.m. that's going to be worth staying up for and watching. Middle Tennessee at Florida Atlantic. Middle Tennessee 5-6 on the year. Disappointing, really disappointing loss last week at home against Old DU. Could have been bowl eligible. Big disappointing loss the week before against Western Kentucky in the rivalry game. So just disappointment after disappointment in this deal. However, this is whoever wins this game is automatically bowl eligible. Middle Tennessee, I believe, is already bowl eligible because they're going to get there's going to be, I believe, at least three 5-win teams that get into bowls this year. Middle will probably be number one because they'll be at the top of the APR. The APR every year, academic progress, is Middle is almost always in the top 10 in that. And they were number one the last time the records were shown. So because of that, Middle is probably already in a bowl. That's going to make them a little bit more relaxed. Florida Atlantic needs to win to get in a bowl. And I've gone with Middle most of the year on everything just because I want them to win. And I am going to go with Middle again here. They're getting 3.5 points, but I'm going to go with them to win the game straight up. But I do get 3.5. It's not a rivalry game. So Middle Tennessee plus 3.5 we will take in that game. West Virginia at Kansas. West Virginia is 5-6, so they need to win to get into a bowl. Kansas 2-9. They ain't getting into a bowl, but they're coming off the big win at Texas. West Virginia favored by 15.5. They're 6-5 against the spread. Kansas 3-7 against the spread. 15.5 points. Kansas has played better with Jalen Daniels as the quarterback. Again, another kid I recruited that's a runaround, can make some plays with his feet. Has played good the last 2 weeks that he's been the starter. They're at home. Maybe the fans are going to get excited. Maybe it'll be a good atmosphere. West Virginia needs the game to get bowl eligible. That's a huge game for Neil Brown and his crew. I believe Kansas is going to make this game close, and they might even win the game straight up. So I'm going to take Kansas plus the 15.5 points. Rivalry game that we've we started following it just a few weeks ago, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. We already had Oklahoma in their rivalry against Texas, but I made this a new rivalry game. Oklahoma State is an elite defense. We have to say that now. Held Texas Tech to 100 yards of offense last week. Oklahoma State is favored by 4.5. This is a great bowl game. They're home against Oklahoma. However, Lincoln Riley, I don't believe, has lost this game. I think he's won every one of them. He might have lost one. I should have looked at that before I did it. But so with that being said, he's obviously been the better coach in this series. Both teams are 10-1. Oklahoma State, if they win out, if they beat Oklahoma, and then they win the championship game next week against whoever it is, if they do that, they're going to get into the Final Four. People don't think that. I don't think there's any way you can keep them out. I believe they win this game because I just think they're the better team. They're definitely the better defense. They're just going to have to score about 24 points. I think if they score 24, they can get in the backfield. They can rattle both the quarterbacks, whoever they are, because he's played them both the last couple of weeks. That's not good either. So he's created a little bit of a quarterback controversy when he didn't have one for a while. But I'm going to take Oklahoma State in this game and give up the 4.5 points that I have to give up in this game. So Oklahoma State minus 4.5 points. Pittsburgh at Syracuse. Syracuse, 5-6, 8-3 against the spread. Pittsburgh, 9-2, 8-3 against the spread. Pittsburgh is in the championship game. I'm going to say that Syracuse at home is going to cover this spread, even though they have not played very good lately. They've played poorly. They need this win to get into a bowl. I'm going to say they play good at home and at least cover the 12.5 points. Clemson, South Carolina, this is another rivalry that we've covered all year long. Clemson has played better the last few weeks. So has South Carolina. South Carolina has had a huge home wins against Florida and against Auburn. The win against Auburn, especially impressive because Auburn still has a team that has a head coach. Florida's got a team that was losing the head coach. Clemson has played better. They're a better defensive team than South Carolina. I wish South Carolina could win this thing. I wish it could be a great game. I wish. I just don't think that it's going to happen. I think that Clemson is getting back closer to what they used to be. They're still not there. They still got a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And I would not be shocked if South Carolina didn't make it a game. But I got to pick somebody. I've been with Clemson all year to cover and to win the game. I've still got them winning the game. That's all I need to do in the rivalry series. But in the spread, I've got them also covering the spread. So I'm going to take Clemson on both of those ways. Kentucky and Louisville, again, big rivalry game I've covered all year long. Kentucky is a weird team. You know, play lights out against some people, play terrible against some others. They were, you know, horrible early in the year against UT Chattanooga. They were really bad at South Carolina, you know, barely beat Missouri, that's turned out to be just an average, below average team. They're just a strange team. They're hard to figure out offensively. The one thing that's really impressive about them, and this is why I'm picking them in the game, I'll go ahead and reveal that. I'm picking them because they are a top five third down conversion offense. Again, that's great coaching. When you're that good, and I've had years where I was really good on third down conversions, but never as good as what Kentucky is right now. They're really good on third down conversions. I believe their O-line will wear down Louisville's D-line. They'll be able to run the ball. They need to be able to play action. I think that Kentucky will really struggle with Louisville's quarterback. He has become really dynamic, making, you know, had a 300-yard throw game with 200 yards rushing. He is a special player. He's become a special player. I think it'll be a great game, but I believe Kentucky, they're getting 3 points at Louisville. I believe Kentucky will have enough fans that it will probably be, the crowd will be close to even. I think that Kentucky will win this game in a really close game, but I get 3 points. I take Kentucky to win the game and to cover the 3-point spread. So that's going to be an interesting deal. Tulane at Memphis. I've got Tulane covering the spread in this game. They're getting 9 points at six points at Memphis. I think that Memphis has got problems. Tulane wins the game straight up, but we get 6 points. Notre Dame at Stanford. Notre Dame 10-1, 8-3 against the spread. Notre Dame favored by only 20. Stanford is horrible. I'll take Notre Dame and give up the 20 points. Nevada, Colorado State, no opinion. BYU at USC. I covered USC all year, haven't seen BYU, but I'm going to go ahead and give an opinion on this. BYU 9-2, 5-6. USC bad, 4-6, 3-7 against the spread. I'm going to give up the 7 points and take BYU. Last game, Cal, UCLA. Seen both teams all year long. Cal played really good against a horrible Stanford team and just destroyed them, which was good to see. UCLA played really well against USC, destroyed them. UCLA favored by 6.5 at home. I believe UCLA is going to win this game. I'm a Cal Bear fan, but I'm also a Chip Kelly fan. But I'm going to take UCLA to cover the spread, minus 6.5. So a lot of games there, guys. I gave you as much as I can to give you an opinion on them. Wish you the best of luck tomorrow in doing this, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.